We're going to get into the word tonight. I'm honored to share with you guys today. And I will say that some parts of today's lesson are going to be collaborative. Now, there's about, I don't know, I can't see the number anymore. It was around 30, 40 people. It's not going to be necessarily as interactive as like Bible talk, but I do expect a little bit of engagement, writing in the chat and so on and so forth as we get an opportunity to connect tonight. So we're going to start off, we're going to warm up, kind of being involved in this lesson so that we're doing this word study together. I'm going to show you a picture and I want you to answer this question. How many lions are in this photo, right? We're just gonna type in the chat as quickly as you can. We could view this as like a little friendly competition. How many lions are in the photo that you see on the screen share? How many lions do you see? Just gotta put the number, All right, some people are spelling it out. Okay, we got one. You guys are like, all right, come on. There's only one lion in this. Okay, I see it. All right, I think you guys kind of get the game that we're doing here. So three, goodness gracious, three. I don't know if I see three lions in the photo. I love it, Jordan. All right, let's move on to this one. Here's our next photo. How many lions are in this photo? Don't tell us where, don't tell us how. How many lions do you see? Peter's starting us off quick. Go two, maybe two, not sure. Ronald says three. Okay. Genesis says three. Some people say two. Dave's like, ah, I see three. Chuck with the cop out, multiple. I love it. So yeah, two lions are pretty kind of clear here. I'm sure you guys can see my cursor. There's actually another one hiding in the grass. Let me zoom in a little bit on the photo, guys. Let me go over, kind of zoom in here. There's a lion hiding in the grass right over here. Oh, some of you guys didn't see it. You only saw the two. There's three lions in this photo here. Gotta keep a watch out for these. All right, let me zoom out again. And here's our last one. Yeah, I got you, Carlos. Here's our last one. So let's see here. Okay. We want to our next example. Here we go. All right. How many lions, sorry, not how many lions, you're talking about tigers now. How many tigers are in this photo? How many tigers are in this photo? Okay, I'm seeing four. Ooh, Nick says seven, eight. Looking at, okay. So it seems like the most, whoa, somebody said 11. I see five, seven. I know some people are on the laptop, some people are on the phones. You might feel like you're at a disadvantage. Hey, Genesis. 5, 11, here we go. 11, Chuck. Okay, Chuck went from multiples to specific. Revised answer. All right. I have counted. Yeah, you might have to pinch and zoom in. No one has got it yet.
I'm from India.
No one has got it yet. Oh, welcome, brother. No one has got it yet. I think, Vinny, you're close, brother. Close. Dave just said I'm going for it. The answer is 13. Tigers in this photo. You gotta search, you gotta zoom in. If you wanna kind of challenge me on that, you can hit me up on the side, private, message me on the Zoom. I'll send you the picture so you can inspect it closely. But yeah, there's 13 tiger faces in this photo. We've got some hiding in the grass, on the rocks here. There's two, There's some in the trees here. There's another really sneaky in the corner, right by this parrot. There's one laying down. There's so many. There's 13 tiger faces in this photo, which is crazy, right? Now, shout out to the brothers who noticed all the images of the lions and tigers in this photo. I would say that people who did this challenge, this game easily or quickly, are people who had good vision, people who are perceptive. Maybe you were familiar with the form or the shape of a lion or a tiger, right? The colors, the distinctive patterns. So you know exactly what to look for. You might even need to dig a little deeper. In the case of the lion photo that we had earlier, you know, you might need to know kind of what lions like to lie in wait in tall grass. So maybe look, look beyond the surface and look for some more animals. Now, being watchful and being alert is something that is essential in the wild, right? Lions are no joke, right? Animals who live in the grasslands of Africa have to be aware. Being watchful and alert is also essential in the world, right? The world and the people in it can have bad intentions, right? I just read today, and this is kind of like ridiculous. I'm reading the news and I heard about this trend that was on social media, mainly on TikTok, that posed an immediate threat to me. And what I found from this trend, people are posting online videos about how easy it is to steal a particular type of car, right? That particular type of car happens to be the car that I have, my car. My car is twice as likely to get stolen or to be stolen than your car, unless your car is a Hyundai or a Kia from 2011 to 2022, because if that's you, then you're in the same situation as me, unfortunately, right? This is crazy. The world is something that I have to look out and be alert in. Also, being watchful and alert is essential in the spiritual war, right? There are spiritual threats to our faith that are out there, right? And I want to identify one tonight and discuss some keys to victory. Some keys to victory. So we're going to be looking at 1 Peter verses 8 to 11 today. 1 Peter verses 8 to 11. I will project or kind of continue to share my screen and have some of the scriptures on here. But if you're taking notes or if you have your own Bible, that's also a great idea. 1 Peter 5 verses 8 to 11 is going to be our main text today. We're going to be talking about keys to victory. Now, before we read the passage, I want to get into just a little bit of what's going on in 1 Peter. So in 1 Peter, this might be actually a little small, but I'll go ahead and explain. So in 1 Peter, for some context, Peter is writing a letter to some churches in kind of the north part of Asia Minor, which is like modern day Turkey. And he's writing to the disciples there that seem to be going through some persecution, some hardship, and ultimately various types of suffering. Now, I wrote out a few examples, a few verses here that are kind of key passages that help us understand this context, right? Peter writes multiple times, he mentions that they had to suffer grief, or they might be suffering for what is right. He calls what they're going through a fiery ordeal, them participating in the sufferings of Christ, even them being insulted because of Jesus. And as he's wrapping up in chapter 5, which is the last chapter of 1 Peter, he begins to address different people in the church, different people of different age groups, different roles. And then he transitions and he says, all of you, I'm going to speak to everyone here, everyone who's in earshot of this letter. And I believe that some of the things that he says after that, each verse just feels like it has so much weight. He talks about humbling yourself under God's mighty hand. He talks about casting your anxieties on Christ because he cares for you. And if we can find ourselves relating to our fellow disciples in the first century, and to the circumstances that they're in, the suffering that they were going through. This makes even more sense for us to tune into what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 11. So let's go ahead and read that. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11. The Bible reads, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you by his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." You know, this short snippet in 1 Peter 5, it challenges me and it comforts me. Peter begins with this just kind of straightforward. He's like, hey, keep your eyes peeled. There's an enemy out there. And let's make no mistake, the enemy that Peter's talking about here is not your boss or your brother or your spouse or the government. That's another midweek, right? He's talking about the enemy, the adversary, the arch nemesis. The one he's talking about is the devil, Satan. If you are trying to live a life for God, please know that you have opposition. We, all of us, have a common enemy. And I want to talk about Satan a little bit tonight, as Peter mentions the devil here. It's important for us to be alert and of sober mind. It's important for us to know the enemy. So I wanted to ask you guys and kind of engage with the brothers here at Midweek again, using the chat. What are some things that we know about our enemy, right? This can be a sentence, something that you remember reading in the Bible, learning on your own. What do we know about our enemy? Okay, we've got the father of lies, right? He's powerful, right? An angel. He is a thief. He twists God's word. Crafty, masquerades as an angel of the light, an accuser, the prince of this world. Very crafty. He wants to devour us, right? Wow, that's right there in the scripture. Persistent. Yeah, Genesis kind of getting into the history, the devil, once being with God. Wow, he's patient. That's deep. He's patient, waiting for his opportunity. Adversary, stronger than me without God. Wow, Carlos, that's right. He knows our weakness. Very subtle, sneaky. Something that was really, that stuck out to me here. He does not have power over us if we thrive or strive to obey God. Amen to that. Wow, he could be friendly. Goodness gracious. All right. So we've got some notes here on our enemy, him coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, Peter compares Satan to a lion. Why do you think he chooses that animal here? Why do you think that is? Why does Peter compare Satan to a lion? Okay. The lion is a cunning hunter on the prowl. Why is the devil compared to a lion? Taz talked about the lion waiting until your guard is down and then attacking you. a strong beast, wants to control the territory, angry for he knows his time is short. That's something true about Satan. King of the jungle. I watch a lot of Animal Planet, and I'm just like, I don't know. Are lions really in the jungle? I don't know if that's the jungle. I don't know if that's the right word. I get a little crazy about these sort of things. Searches for the weak link. Yeah, lions definitely do that. Great, strong. Now, as we discuss Satan, and we talk about all these characteristics, the things we know about him to be true, that he's the father of lies, that he's crafty, sneaky, deceitful, about him being like a lion, always on the prowl, looking for us to be separated, isolated, weak, alone. We might think to ourselves that the enemy is strong or he can't be defeated. But Peter doesn't phrase it that way. He tells them to look out for the enemy, but then he gives them something to do in response to knowing who Satan is. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And then he gives them this encouragement, and the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. Peter, in response to knowing our enemy, hands us three keys to having victory in this battle against Satan. Now, there's many other scriptures in the Bible that give us some insight in how we can fight Satan. We're just going to stick with this one for now and grab three keys that Peter gives us in this passage. And the first one is to be alert. Be alert and of sober mind. Now, when it's the Bible says be alert, that's a pretty common word, right? This idea of being alert, being observant, being aware. A lot of other translations will say be watchful. But then this idea of having a sober mind, what do you guys think that means? Having a sober mind. I don't use that in my everyday. Hey, yo, make sure you have a sober mind, bro. You know, that's not something that kind of always comes out of my mouth. But what do you think it means to have a sober mind, brothers? Having a sober mind. Hey, we're thinking about that. And this that part where I wish we were in person. I can't wait to get back in. I don't know if midweek in person is in the future, but I love connecting with you guys in this way. But so here we go. We've got situational awareness, not distracted, grounded in truth. Thinking clearly, clear-minded. Okay, clear comes up a lot, right? Not being arrogant or cocky, okay? In tune with the spirit, guarding your heart. Clear of distractions, guided by wisdom. Don't be high. You know what's crazy? Will says don't be high. Bro, sober mind, like the sober, what is translated from in the Greek, it literally just means to just be free of the influence of just don't be drunk. Like, that's kind of what it says. But we can glean metaphorically that it means, hey, don't be, have your mind so polluted that you're not thinking clearly, that you're not able to discern, right? If our, when people are drunk, their vision is blurred, their words are slurred, so on and so forth. Us having sober mind means being aware of our spiritual surroundings. At first, in Titus 2 verse 4, there's this passage where there's this encouragement to train others to be sober-minded, right? It talks about older women training younger women to have a sober mind. You can actually train your mind to have sound judgment, right? Now, don't be unaware of your spiritual surroundings. I think this is one of the keys to fighting against Satan, right? Being vigilant, right? Being aware of how Satan attacks. You know, I've seen brothers operate with a sober mind, And when I see that, when I see brothers being vigilant about their walk with God, it inspires me. It sets an example. It encourages me. I remember one brother, we were going to see a movie together, and he had never seen the movie before. Like all of us, we're going to the movie theater. We're trying to hang out as men. And he made sure to look up the movie on certain websites, websites like Kids in Mind or find specific ratings to look out to see, is there any sexual content in this movie that's going to cause me to struggle? I don't want this to be a stumbling block to me. He didn't go into that situation unaware of how Satan tries to attack. He was not going to be surprised. Maybe, okay, what, that part of the movie got spoiled for him? And he didn't look up the plot of the movie. He wanted to know, what are the contents? What are the ratings? I'm going to make sure that I'm on guard about my faith because I know how Satan is, right? There's things that we can do to be vigilant and to be alert. I also think about, for me, one of the things that I can sometimes struggle with, I think kind of causes me to lose my alertness, is when I'm just kind of mindlessly scrolling on the internet, right? Especially for me, it's social media. If I'm on Facebook or Instagram or even YouTube, and I'm just kind of stuck in that rabbit hole, watching video after video, reading post after post, comment after comment, I know for me, I tend to lose my alertness. I tend to kind of not be clear on the spiritual war that's around. And next thing you know, I'm in scrolling through a comment and I see an icon or an image of someone not dressed appropriately, making crazy comments, a video that's inappropriate comes up. And I'm in this kind of I don't know how much you guys have looked into how social media can affect the brain, but it can really kind of lull you into, so almost like this laziness in your mind. And now you have to quickly scroll, exit out after you've been kind of trapped in this, on this website, on the internet. Praise God for being able to resist in those moments. But sometimes that tells me, hey, maybe I just don't need to be doing that late at night. Maybe I just don't need to be doing that alone, because there's going to be a day where I am weakened and isolated enough to fall for that trap from Satan. You know, being alert and being of sober mind maybe can sound anxious, like an anxious life to you. I just want to encourage you, this is not an anxious life. This is not an anxiety kind of driven life where you're constantly kind of checking around corners and so on and so forth, right? This is us being, it's living with an awareness. This is the truth about our walk with God. We have an enemy. We need to be aware. And when we feel anxious about these things, God encourages, even in the verse right before the one we just read, that we can cast our anxieties on him. Amen. So that's our first key, being alert and of sober mind. Our second key is to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. It's right there in the scripture. Know that the bullseye that Satan is aiming for, it's not to get you frustrated or to make you angry, to make you feel a little tempted, to have you fall into one sin. Satan's like bullseye, the shot, the thing that he's aiming for is your faith. He's aiming for your faith, the thing he wants to devour and erode and take away and steal, kill, and destroy is your faith. And he will use suffering to help him achieve that goal. That's intense. Satan does not fight fair. And I think Peter was trying to help people who are going through hardship and suffering and persecution know, hey, this suffering isn't an excuse for sin. This suffering isn't an excuse to not be aware. Please know your true enemy is out there. And he has a more sinister plan than you going through physical suffering. He is going after, as Simran said, your heart and your faith. And Satan will deceive us. He'll approach you in your lows. When you're sick and tired and grieving, when your mental health is struggling, Satan is viewing your worst day as his best day. He approached Jesus when Jesus was alone, when Jesus was weak, when Jesus was hungry. Do not be unaware. To stand firm in the faith is to kind of realize that Satan is trying to attack our trust in God. So we need to strengthen our trust in God, strengthen our trust in his promises and his goodness. You know, all throughout 1 Peter, the people needed this constant reassurance that despite their suffering, God is still good. His grace and his power is enough to guard you, right? God is stronger than the devil, and he empowers you with his spirit to endure hardship and temptation. Satan does not want you to believe that God has you, that resisting him is worth it, that heaven and eternity is worth it, that a life guided by loving and serving others and holding on to the truth is worth it. And he is wrong. He is wrong. We need to reaffirm ourselves in God's truth. You know, in Matthew 4, as I mentioned earlier, when Jesus is kind of having this confrontation, this temptation from Satan, from the devil, he let the truth of God expose the lies of Satan. So I want to encourage you, hide the word in your heart. Hide the word in your heart. Don't lose the habit of being in the word, right? Romans 10, 17 says that faith comes from hearing the word. I remember, you know, visiting a nursing home when I was in the campus ministry in Brooklyn. Every month we would go to a nursing home and we would sing to the residents there. And then we'd, sometimes we'd bring things for them, but most of the times we sing some songs from church. And then we just talk with them and spend time with them, because a lot of the times they didn't really get many visitors, even from their family members, and they felt kind of lonely. So that was our way to serve that community at those nursing homes. And I remember this woman, after we sang and I was having a conversation with her, she said, how's it going memorizing the word? And I said, you know, I got a few scriptures. She said, well, what about Psalm 23? And then I'm like, you know, I think I knew, like, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm trying to pull it together. And she just recites the whole Psalm 23 from memory. Then she gives me another Psalm. And I'm like, oh, I don't know that one. She recites the entire Psalm from memory. And it was very powerful. She was hiding the word in her heart. She had these Psalms on the tip of her tongue, deep in her brain. Now, I know, I've heard, right? I'm 31 years old. I've heard that as you get older, your memory kind of gets a little shaky. The word was so important to her, such a pivotal part of her life. She sought to memorize it. She'd probably been memorizing it for years. Some of those things, even when people struggle with memory issues, something you really, really, sometimes those memories. I've heard stories of brothers memorizing entire. I heard one crazy story. I don't know if it's true. At a conference, a brother said he memorized the book of Romans. And I was, that's insane, right? But he memorized the book of Romans. And I was like, wow, hiding the word in his heart. One of the ways that we could stand firm in our faith. Our last key number three. Name is Steve. Was that Steve Stevenson? Might have been somebody. So there we go. Keep perspective. Key number three, keep perspective. You know, as we read the scripture, let's think about, as we read this, and I want to ask you guys this, what is it that Peter wants us to remember as we're fighting this battle? Right? We're going to be alert. We're going to be of sober mind. Oh, Steve Johnson, there you go. Be alert. Be of sober mind. We're going to resist him. But what does he want us to keep in mind and remember as we're fighting this battle, as we look at this scripture? What does he want us to remember? Okay, his word, right? God will restore us at some point. Yep, that's right there. God will restore us. What perspective does he want us to have? I'll tell you, let's see if I get one more, right? The grace of God, the call to the eternal, his eternal glory. Yeah, really powerful. Believe in his grace. Right? Yep. Amen. Now, one of the things that really stuck out to me, and we're going to get to some of those things about that call to eternal glory, that he wanted us to keep in mind. He said, because you know, the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. When you're in the battle, when you're in the fight, when you're struggling, right? Because of suffering, it could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual. You know, the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. The perspective that we need to keep in the battle against Satan is that you are not alone. Someone can relate to you, right? And I want to kind of put that into perspective here. If you have had health challenges in 2023, physical pain, can you type an amen in the chat? So that maybe someone else in the chat, maybe someone else on the call tonight can relate. If you've dealt with some sort of physical ailment, pain, challenges, difficulty in 2023, we've just been 5 months here. I could put amen to that. Please pray for me, guys. I have trapezius muscle spasms, these spasms in my neck from a neck injury I had at football many moons ago, and it kind of comes back. It's very difficult. Someone else can relate. You're not being singled out. You're not alone. If you've experienced grief, maybe the loss of a loved one in 2023, you can write an amen in the chat. Not because it's something we're excited about, but just to remind someone else on the call that they're not alone, that someone else is there who has experienced the same type of suffering. Amen. You know, as you see these brothers' names, you know, just bear in mind, we got to pray for each other. Got to pray for each other. Ask for prayers. Have people on your mind. Pray over the names that you're seeing here. Grief, right? Kind of switching gears here. If you have felt like you were tempted, dealing with the temptation, or even falling into the sin of impurity, right? You've been tempted in your purity this year. That's been a struggle for you, right? And I know it takes a lot of humility, vulnerability to say, amen, that's me. But if that's you, you can write an amen in the chat here, right? And maybe it's not purity. It can be deceit, greed, idolatry, right? Some, you know, I heard a Bible teacher talking about this passage. And like I said before, one of the things that sometimes makes the struggle even more difficult is when we feel like we're being singled out. Being singled out by Satan, even singled out by God. It's just me. I'm going through it. This is a struggle and a challenge that's unique to just me. And me saying that your challenge is not unique, or your temptation or your situation is not unique, I'm not saying in a way to minimize it or minimize its significance. I'm saying that because I want you to know the truth, that there's strength in numbers, that there's a number of men on this call who are in the battle with you and who share in some of the experiences that you dealt with, not just in a general sense, but in a specific sense. The scripture says that people are experiencing the same kind of sufferings that you're experiencing. So there's a brotherhood. There's a family of believers in New Jersey, in the Northeast, the Northwest, beyond New York, beyond the US, right? That are going through it together. You are not alone. There's strength in numbers, and we can get through this together. You know, just a small tangent. I want to acknowledge that it's hard to build kind of deep bonds with other men, right? I myself, sometimes if someone who doesn't make himself available enough to go beneath the surface with all of my friends, right? And sometimes I have friendships that are really not deep. Hey, bro, what's up? You know, but it's not deep, right? I know you're not going to have a David and Jonathan type of friendship with everyone, but if you don't have that with anyone, I'm begging you, because I love you. If you don't have that in the trenches type of friendship, search for it. Seek it out. Seek it out. That friendship that is, I am fully known by this person and I fully know this person. Search for it with the persistence and urgency that the enemy is coming after you. With that persistence and urgency, we need to be persistent and urgent about deepening our relationship with others, right? Because that bond, that brotherhood is a part of our battle against Satan. And lastly here, as far as the perspective, a lot of you guys said it, keeping our mind on the eternal, right? At the end of the passage here, in verse 10, it says, after you suffered for a little while. Sometimes when I see things like this in the Bible, I'm like, okay, it's just going to be a little bit. But when we see a little while, this is from a God perspective. Our suffering on this earth is temporary compared to what we have in Christ, right? Our situation that we're going through in this world is brief compared to what we have in the joys of eternity, right? And God himself will, at some point in this life or the next, restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast so that you can endure to the end. We have to hold on to that. We have to hold on to that. Keep perspective so that we can have victory over Satan. You know, what are some ways that you've been feeling attacked by Satan recently? What are some ways that or someone you know in the church is experiencing hardship? Do you know someone who's experiencing persecution, right? How can you encourage them? How could you encourage them? Don't go through this alone. If that's you, you're dealing with it. Raise your hand. Not here, but kind of metaphorically, right? Let someone know, ring the alarm, right? You're not being singled out. We're in this together. And we have to point out the lion. Personally, as a community, we have to point out the lion. Because when we stand firm in our faith, when we band together, when we keep perspective, we can resist the devil. I want to end up with this picture. This is a screenshot from a video. And this lion is going through it. We usually see these buffalo as the prey. But this lion tried to pick on some buffalo, and a lot of buffalo showed up. A lot of buffalo showed up. And this lion at the beginning of the video is not in the tree. He's on the ground. He's tussling, and he's realized, oh, wow, I'm outnumbered. And now he's hiding in a tree. This is not Photoshop, guys. This is real. This is a real photo. And the roaring lion that was trying to scare these buffalo, hunt these buffalo, ended up being the one that was terrified. When we're together as brothers, right? That roaring lion doesn't get to terrify the faith out of us anymore. We deepen our faith in the word through God, connect with each other, build with each other, and we can overcome and have victory over Satan. Love you guys, and I appreciate you for listening. And that's our midweek lesson for tonight.